Well, the first thing to say is that I'm very pleased to be part of this press conference because, rightly and understandably, we've paid a lot of attention to the climate change process itself and to the ways of averting it, and that's the first order business. But importantly, we're starting to pay more attention to what the range of consequences for human societies will be. And human health really is right at the centre of that. Kevin Rudd said before the last election that climate change was the great moral issue of the age. And I think that's nowhere better emphasised than in relation to the different risks to health around the world between rich and poor countries, and also the differences between present and future generations as risks increase. The World Health Organization has estimated that during this decade, about 150,000 to 200,000 extra deaths occur in poor countries, mostly in young children, from climate change, just from four particular causes of death. That's from crop failures and malnutrition, from diarrheal disease, from malaria, and from flooding. And actually, on simple arithmetic, if Australia is contributing about 1.5% of global emissions, then you could estimate that we're causing about 3,000 of those deaths in poor countries each year at the moment. Climate change, of course, threatens a lot of things that we value, and we talk about that a lot. The threat to various economic sectors, to jobs, tourism, recreational amenity. I think the risks to health provide the really profound signal that climate change, via disruption of natural environmental processes that we depend on for food, for water, for stability of infectious disease, for physical safety, for all those reasons, the risks to health really underscore the importance of taking action early to avert the process. Now, there are risks that we all know from heat waves in Australia, extremes of heat, and on current projections, including some that my research group has produced, we would expect death rates from heat waves, particularly in older persons, to increase two or three times by the middle of this century. But beyond that, there's a whole range of indirect processes that will endanger health, the risks of various infectious diseases, such as dengue fever in the north of Australia, various other viral diseases spread by mosquitoes, extending their range and their seasonality. Rural Australia, I think, is bearing the brunt of the front end of climate change, and we can see already some evidence that there's a loss of social stability, of morale, increased risks to mental health. These are very important indirect and cumulative risks to health. I think the bottom line here is to say that all communities everywhere will face risks to their health from climate change. I'm hoping that a recognition of that will strengthen our resolve to understand the seriousness of the issue and to take early and radical action to avert climate change. The first thing that I'm concerned about as a health researcher is to inject this dimension into the discussion, and it's starting to happen. The media are beginning to take a lot more interest now in the consequences for humans, well-being, health, survival, and that's actually a very potent message. We're starting to see some international organisations switch their attention from the arithmetic of emissions and targets and taxes to talking about the human face of climate change, in the hope that if they can take that message to the COP15 gathering at the end of this year, that will galvanise the discussion and strengthen the resolve to take action. So that's my professional interest in ensuring that we understand this human dimension and the fact that this is a big threat to our society and particularly to future generations. Well, I don't speak as a climate scientist, I speak as a informed scientist, much engaged in the discussion, and clearly the first order business is to reduce our emissions and to begin to do so soon, immediately, and much more radically than has been currently proposed by the Rudd government. The proposal before us at the moment from the government is clearly inadequate. Takes us nowhere near the sorts of targets that are now being generally recognised by international science as quite essential if we're going to stabilise the world's climate within a tolerable range.